Divided Nation.
People, I hope you're ruling in your place, space, and time.
I pray the blessings of the living God and his son Jesus Christ reigns in your heart, in your mind, and your soul. I pray that everything you touch turns to gold. This is Doyle Lee, living on the highest level from divine royalty, where wisdom is wealth and wealth is wisdom. You have just tuned into the Divided Nation Analyzation Podcast, where we are dissecting the vision to bring about unity. We are doing this by using a book movie script that has been written by our beloved and great author, Nako, who has blessed us with a broken title, Divided Nation. If you have been blessed to read this book, then you know what I mean when I say this book is before its time. Therefore, you are ahead of the game. If you have not read this book, then you are behind and need to catch up with the conversation that is about to take the nation by storm. That's cool, because yours truly has been assigned by divine royalty to catch you up with the get up. What do you think about that? Now you may say, Mr. Lee, what makes you think this movie, book, is before its time and causing readers to be ahead of the game? Well, that's an excellent question. And something excellent means that you're shining already, and we haven't even got it started yet. Well, first, keep in mind that this prolific author wrote this movie manuscript in 2003. You can look this up on our Divided Nation website at www.dividednation.org and find the copyright information registered in the Library of Congress. This movie script predates Obama's presidency. Also, the book was written and published in 2005, which predates this movie. The movie Black Panther. What I'm suggesting to you is all the major, profound, life-changing experiences that the African American community has experienced in the last 10 years, Divided Nation has already written the script on it in one way or another. So, this podcast's main objective is to help you prepare for the next major event that has already been written about. So, buckle up. We are going to dissect picture 4, get all the jewels that lay beneath the surface of this great work. We welcome you all to Divine Royalty's Divided Nation Analyzation Podcast. Let's get started. Picture 4. First point. School me. This picture opens up with a political science class in progress. They just finished watching the closing of one of Raymond Jackson's speeches. Professor Dubois helps the class analyze Raymond's political style by asking them a simple question. What do you think about Mr. Jackson becoming the next African-American president? As simple as this question may appear, we have to consider the classroom setting. It gives us a sign and symbol that the African-American community has to be schooled or re-educated on a few matters before they reach their new destiny. It's quite obvious that there must be a re-educated, we must be re-educated in the area of political and social norm. One of our greatest challenges of today is how do we respond to old problems met by new rules of engagement? For example, just recently, Roseanne was fired from a major network for using what is labeled as a racial overtone. Well, this is not the first time she has used a racial overtone. It's an old problem. The new rules of engagement denotes that you do not use them on social media where it can go viral and can't be retraced back to the sender. Now it appears our attention is on who said it and how it was said, when the focus should be, why does she think it was right? Has the culture encouraged her? And who was she entertaining. So it must be re-educated on many fronts, especially when it comes to how entertainers will be used as the fall guy or girl in the process of entertaining people who will laugh and joke about certain overtones, but are smart enough not to send them viral. We also must be re-educated of letting go of the way we respond to what people say about us. And we must be re-educated about how we are see ourselves, so that insults will make us stronger and not weaker. This type of political education is not for politicians only. That is the old way of looking at it. We're talking about teaching the entire family, including our children, how to be politically conscious of this very hot political climate. Professor Dubois represents the many teachers that will be rising up to re-educate a new generation on how to think politically and not so emotionally. Second point, that's cool. Which brings us to our next question and point. Watch this. The professor does an excellent job provoking the thoughts of the young minds to engage in a deep idea of politics. Mr. Dubois will be the kind of teacher we will need in our community in order to take a new look at an old institution, old ideas, and political politics as usual. There are many teachers who are waiting in the wings for the chance to inspire and motivate a new generation to take a fresh look at the African American community. Now, when Steve, one of the students, suggests it would be cool if Raymond became the vice president, Professor Dubois pushed him to give a little more information than cool. Lena came to his assistance by explaining that Raymond's entire political campaign and possible victory will be based on how cool he is. So the question arises, when did cool become a part of the African American community political process? Now, if my oldest sister Loretta was questioned, she would undoubtedly say, Nako says, when Jesse Jackson came onto the scene, that is when cool came into our politics. He had on the jean outfit, the big afro, no tie, no suit, and the ability to speak with the rhythm and rhyme that predates rap. The ability to motivate and captivate his audience was clearly cool. Then out of nowhere, Bill Clinton, who had a laid-back coolness that only surfaced when addressing the African-American community. No one will ever forget when he played the sax on Arsenio Hall's show. That was cool. At its best. We knew there was more to the coolness or the lack thereof, but we didn't have any choice on that on the level he was on, right? The author Nako often says, a little versus nothing is a lot. Did y'all catch that? Jesse had a cool appeal more than Clinton. But Clinton had the political leverage which magnified his coolness to the 10th power.
We will be right back after this commercial.
Divine Royalty Books, Music, and Movies presents Divided Nation. Part 1. Divine Destiny.
Divided Nation.
If the book is always better than the movie, then you have to read this book before it becomes a blockbuster movie.
Divided Nation.
A reality fiction.
Divided Nation.
Answers the great what if and what now that surrounds the African American community.
Divided Nation.
What if an African American politician picks up where our previous president left off?
Divided Nation.
Raymond Jackson had been trained all his life to do something that no one saw coming. Not even his wife or his mistress.
Divided Nation.
Get your copy today by going to www.DividedNation.org or www.Amazon.com.
Divided Nation.
If roots was our past, Divided Nation is our future.
Divided Nation.
We are back.
The School of Cool. As you well know, one of Professor Du Bois' students makes a distinction between acting cool and being cool. This brings us to a very interesting question, a question that has one bark but grows into many branches. What are the different degrees of political coolness? The first fact we have to consider when answering this question is that there are many people who will act cool just to get your vote, just to pretend they are part of the culture. And if you're not careful, you will be mistaken and fooled for someone who wants to be cool. So, in the political school of cool, the first lesson is to know how to recognize the ones who are just acting cool and putting on a cool act. Now, the mid-degree of the school of cool is under the pressure of conflict. To appreciate this point, the author Nako suggests you never know how cool a person is until they find themselves into a very hot situation, like having a heated conversation in Hell's Kitchen in the 4th of July. Now, that's hot. It is at this time we will see cool heads prevail. This is not something that comes in a style, a walk, clothes, a car, or a house one lives in. It only comes from the school of hot conflicts, trials, and tribulation. Challenges that produce someone who can stay cool under this type of pressure in order to give an accurate solution. Now, that's cool. The highest degree of coolness is demonstrated when you see the husbands being faithful to the spouse. Fathers parenting their children, providers keeping employees, students finishing school, and visionaries completing their mission. All of this in the face of opposition, wanting to quit and walking away many times, but instead opting to see the entire process through. Now that is a capital C, double O, capital L. Cool. Hip hop politics. Is there a place for hip-hop in the political arena? This is an interesting question in light of all the controversy that hip-hop brings to the table. What will help us answer this question is to understand where hip-hop derived. Hip-hop is a spinoff of R&B. A new generation brought rap into the music field by sampling old R&B tunes. These young people brought something no one thought would last or had a place in the music industry, but instead of dying out, it became more and more popular nationally, and now look, internationally. The success was so overwhelming that all genres started to accept this new style of singing. Then about 10 years after it hit a new genre, it became a culture. Yeah, hip-hop created a subculture and all the bells and whistles that came along with it. Hip-hop had its own clothing lines, movies, drinks, and leaders. Whatever hip-hop touched, it owned and created a style along with it. Hip-hop even had its own political representative who admitted on many occasions that he was the voice of the hip-hop politics. Yet, their music celebrities degraded women, murders, drugs, and alcohol use. This is what the music celebrated. Wow. Power by any means necessary. Some may even make the argument that hip-hop is not helping the cause, but only making it worse. The problem is, we have to know how to change the aggressive parties involved to people who can understand the dividing balance by teaching them how to use the positive and disregard the negative. The author Nako admits that we all have something to offer, even if what we have to offer must be cleaned up a little. The creativity of hip-hop and its original style can be used to convey a new thought and idea for a new destiny. If nothing else, hip-hop can bring a new determination that seems to have a reputation of beating the odds.
We will be right back after this commercial.
Divine Royalty Books, Music, and Movies presents a Divided Nation soundtrack entitled Daddy's Little Girl by new artist Jazz.
Hello, caller. You are on the air. Hi, my name is Brad from Houston, Texas, and I would like to dedicate the song Daddy's Little Girl by Jazz to my daughter. I'm sorry I can't be there right now, but Daddy loves you very much.
Well, you got it. Wow, this has been the most dedicated song all month. Fathers are dedicating the Daddy's Little Girl song to their daughters, and daughters are dedicating the song to their fathers.
Go to SoundCloud, MixCloud, or anywhere you stream your music and push play, like, and share. You can also purchase Daddy's Little Girl by going to iTunes, Amazon Music, Google Play, or anywhere music is sold and download it to your phone. Join the Daddy Little Girl campaign by going to www.facebook.com/jazz.brown.5602.
Now here it is, from Brad to his daughter and all the Daddy's Little Girls in the world and the fathers who love and miss them.
If you are here right now, as silly as it may sound, I would parade you all over town.
We are back.
A cool Uncle Tom. What is a cool Uncle Tom? This point we have arrived at may need a little clarification. If you are too young to know what an Uncle Tom is, allow me to explain. Before I answer the question of what a cool Uncle Tom is, the late Malcolm X refers to Uncle Tom as a house slave. This is, you had the field slave who did all the picking, cutting and plowing, what we would call manual labor today. And then you had the house slave who cleaned the house, managed the house, and took care of all the people who lived in the slave master's house. So the Uncle Tom was nothing more than a butler. With that said, looking at this from a political point of view, we have to acknowledge that we have some political Uncle Toms. Men and women who manage the mainstream political affairs on the inside, while others are in the field picking up the issues, cutting down the problems, plowing through all the political mess in the process of trying to progress. Some will label the African-American mayors, governors, or political officials. Still, the question remains, can there be a cool Uncle Tom? The author Nako commentary on the issue gives us an outright no. He reminds us that anytime anyone is given the label Uncle Tom, from a sincere point of view, not just out of jealousy or disrespect, seems to be always a description of a political official who is lining up his pockets at the expense of the people's progress. So a cool Uncle Tom would be a double threat to a progressive people. A cool Uncle Tom would only pretend like he has the people's best interests at heart, dressing down or talking slang, doing things that appear to be with you only to what? Backstab everyone who put the confidence in him.
We will be right back after this commercial.
Divided Nation.
Divine Royalty Books, Music, and Movies presents Divided Nation, Part 1, Divine Destiny. Have you read this cutting-edge, controversial fiction that is becoming the center of conversation in the African-American community?
Divided Nation.
Divided Nation is about a flamboyant, playboy politician named Raymond Jackson, who had it all together until he met his match. His godfather, who he never knew existed, Mr. Goodson, turned his world right side up when he revealed to Raymond his true purpose in life. Listen to an excerpt from this powerful book from Picture 5, entitled Give It Up.
No, son. No one told me anything about you. I'm your godfather. Raymond looks at his father in bewilderment, as if to ask, is this true? I was the one who stood at your christening, but stayed anonymous until the time was right. Goodson explains, I guess this means the time is right. Raymond asks as he stuffs his hand in his pockets. Okay, you're my godfather. You could have revealed this to me at our family reunion. I'm a busy man, Mr. Goodson. So what is all this about? Why am I here? Raymond says with annoyance. You are here to give up the vice presidency, says his godfather. Raymond's laughter fills the room until he notices the serious expression on his father and Goodson's faces. "This is a joke, right?" Raymond asks his father again. "Right, Dad?" "Just listen, son," his father responds. "Raymond, where you are in life right now was planned by your father and me. We selected the schools, the people, the places you would encounter to prepare you for this very important time. You are not destined to be vice president," his godfather states. "This is crazy, man. You are crazy," Raymond responds. "That's all right. This is a little too much for him to take in right now," his godfather says in Raymond's defense. "Right now? I'm not taking this in right now or ever. You say you both prepared me for this time, but yet you want me to give up everything I've been working so hard for. Then what am I supposed to do? What is it I'm supposed to be if not vice president?" Raymond asks. "I can't tell you that yet," his godfather says. "This is a game, and I'm not playing," Raymond says, and begins to move towards the door. "I can't give you more information until you are willing to give up everything you have," his godfather replies. "What?" Raymond stops and turns to him. "Sometimes you can't get what is on another level until you are ready to give up what you have," his godfather explains. Raymond had heard and had enough. He opened the door and looked at both his father and godfather. "Do you know who I am? I am the first African American vice president. Not I will be, or it may happen, but it's already a done deal. We are living in the future right now, and no one can stop it, not even my father and godfather," Raymond says. "Son, you have 9 days to decide what you are going to do," his godfather calmly states. "I already know what my answer will be, and it goes something like this." Raymond walks out and slams the door behind him.
Wow, now you have to find out why Mr. Goodson wants Raymond to give up becoming the next vice president of the United States of America. What in the world could be more important, and will Raymond Jackson do it? When you finish reading this reality fiction, it will leave you asking these questions. What if this is the next chapter in the African-American history? Don't be left out of the conversation. Get your copy today by going to www.dividednation.org or amazon.com. Read this moving book before you watch it as a major motion picture. Remember, if roots is our path, Divided Nation has to be our future.
Divided Nation.
We are back.
Our next point, our motion picture. What would be a new script for the African American community right now? Another student mentioned that she heard Raymond Jackson was going to be in a motion picture. The professor played the statement off, but it brought up an important question about how would our movie script look today if all of the actors and actresses, all the major players, would play their role? How big could this new script be? Once again, I believe this is why so many love the movie Black Panther. It was an opportunity to see themselves and other ethnic groups excel in a way they never have or they have never done before, but yet possess the potential to. The reason why the author Nako wrote the movie script first and then the book is because the motion picture gives us a vision of how we look progressing today in our time and in our own way. The only problem with the movie Black Panther is that it was geared more towards the fictional side than the reality of today's plight and plan to progress. It also focuses on the place in Africa versus a place in the U.S. The Project Divided Nation focuses how do we progress from America to Africa? What would that look like? What would the mechanics be that could help us advance from forward from point A to B? Also, Divided Nation gives a vision of African Americans going back to their roots to help Africans and not the other way around. As you are going to see, if you haven't read the book, we will have a step-by-step process of how we are going to be a vision, watch this, in motion. Everyone will know their part, so they must play their role and take position. The author Nako states, Too many movies TV has given the wrong vision for so many years. Vision of murder, theft, illicit sex, drug use, and base money as power. Now it's time for us to have a vision of complete and total freedom, of progressing in a way we would never, ever could imagine. So we had to put it into a movie script so people can see it in order to believe it.
We will be right back after this commercial.
Divine Royalty Books, Music, and Movies presents Daddy's Little Girl by Jazz.
I got an email the other day from a friend who moved far away. It was a sad day. What he wrote blew my mind. I read it a thousand times. It brought tears to my eyes. He said, "You'll always be my little girl. You're my sanity in this crazy world. I don't say
Dads, go to iTunes, Amazon Music, Google Play, or wherever you download music and purchase this song for your daughter today. Daughters of all ages will love it.
We are back.
Next point is dream big. Do you think the present generation want more politically than the previous generation? If there's ever been an oxymoron of a question, this is one. That is, the present generation is always wanting more and looking for ways to achieve that goal. More money, education, more transportation, more electronics, more sex, more social media, popularity, more fashion, more entertainment, and a better way of living. It is amazing how much the present generation has accomplished than Martin Luther King's generation. Yet it seems like there's a lack of enthusiasm for wanting the right things for themselves. It appears they want more media access, but not the right contents. It appears that they want more degrees, but not more ways to apply what they know. They have the desire to want more, but want more what? Do they want more equality to wanting better? And what is this generation prepared to go through to get better? So it seems that Martin's generation wanted more than this generation, more equal rights, more progressive people, and progressive behaviors to go along with it. We also see what comes with that is their relentless, their sacrifice, and their willingness to give up more. On the other hand, this sensation of bigger caused them to have a desire on a grand scale, which can lead to something and somewhere that they needed to go. This generation, though, is not afraid to see beyond the place that Martin Luther King's generation would not dare to look. So now the only recourse we have is to give this generation something to look forward to. Even maybe instruct them to see a bigger picture than the picture of music videos, love and hip hop, or the next big bling, big paycheck, big house, big car, big muscles, or big butt. This generation has what it takes because they want more than the previous generation, simply to outdo them. Now, the author, Naco, encouraged this healthy competition. He states, this will be the engine that pushes us to see a bigger destiny than the other generation. Let's think about it. Whatever happened to the idea of getting our nation? Yes, us getting our own nation. Let's look at the last point. Actually, the young student brought out a point of not wanting to wanting a black vice president, but having his own nation. For the ones who read the book Divided Nation, you know exactly where this is going and how we got there. Someone else in the classroom suggests that maybe there is a person thinking on the level of the African-American community having their own nation. The question comes up to us. What happened to the idea of getting our own nation? This used to be something that was talked about and considered long ago, but is that thought still around? Does the idea seem far-fetched? Is there someone behind the scenes coming up with a master plan to introduce this old idea to a new generation? While the author Naco believes the political father figure will prepare our minds for such an idea, the younger generation is already heading in this direction because they have always had a way of thinking big. The older generation has a way of thinking order, structure. The author Naco believes that if the two generations come together, it will spark a thought that will bring both worlds together to create one world that demands to have its own. The idea is worth thinking about. This is why the politics or the poli science class, along with Professor Dubois, gives us a picture of what can happen when the older generation provokes the thought of the younger generation. It gives us something that is worth thinking about. You can't have a low self-esteem and think on this level. No, 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 no. You can't see yourself as another color and think on this level. You can't see yourself as a mistake in history or a second-class citizen and think on this level. You have to know something about yourself, your purpose, and your identity in order to think about having your own nation. Do you think you are worth thinking on this level? Well, if not, then someone, somewhere, I guarantee, is thinking about it. As we leave, party people, I want you to know that all good things have to come to an end, or at least be continued. Let's summarize what we have learned today. The author Naco gave a glimpse into the near future where teachers like Professor Dubois will rise up to help us prepare our minds for this powerful and positive move towards a new destiny. These teachers will provoke us to think bigger than the previous generations, lining up an old idea with a new passion and purpose. If these teachers do nothing else, they will cause us to think about a new possibility that seems to have gotten lost in the hustle and bustle of the American dream. They will help us to retrieve our lost vision for the clutter of saying much and doing little. There will be no room for Uncle Toms, only cool hip-hop politicians who have been overheated by current issues but simmered down by these great teachers who know only cool heads prevail in these hot political circumstances. Coolness is our policy, and it is necessary to stay focused in this crazy arena called politics. I don't know if you saw the 2018 BET Awards, but if you missed it, I recommend you watch it because all the signs and symbols are there. It's everywhere. People are realizing that something is about to happen in the African-American community that is going to be both positive and productive for our nation and the nations of the world. I pray DN Analyzation will be able to help us to be 100% ready. Listen, I'm running out of time. Thanks to our author, Nako, who gave us this great movie book project and commentary to go along with it. Thanks to the queen of divine royalty, Mrs. Vanessa Brown. Thanks to Frank Kendrick for his editing skills and abilities. And thanks to divine royalty, where wisdom is wealth and wealth is wisdom. And we definitely got a wealth of wisdom out of this podcast. DN Analyzation, where we are dissecting division to understand unity. I'm Doyle Lee, and I'll see you back here next time. Remember, a house divided amongst itself cannot stand, and it's time for us to take a stand.